Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erchin Daf Yud Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin in the middle of Daf Yud Zayin, where you see the beginning of the new perek, the fourth perek of Erechin, perek Heseg Yad. The issue that we will be dealing with has to do with income level and what is expected of someone that cannot afford to pay the Erechin rate that he vowed to donate. The Erechin rate, just to remind everyone, has to do with the fixed Torah value assigned to a person based on gender and age. Of course, to be contrasted with the concept of market value, or domim in Hebrew, which is something else. The halachas of ability to afford and requirements adjusted thereupon are halachas that are relevant to the realm of Erechin and not to the realm of other forms of temple dedication and donations. So the Mishnah says, Heseg Yad Benoder, and we should point out ahead of time that the opening phrases of the Mishnah are very unclear in and of themselves. The Gemara itself will clarify them, and it might be best advised to wait for the Gemara until we dwell on what the meanings of some of these opening phrases are. So in the meantime, the din of Heseg Yad. Heseg Yad has to do with ability to afford, or attention paid to income level. So Heseg Yad Benoder V'Hashonim Benidar V'Erechin Benerach. This third point concerns a man that offered to give the value of a particular woman. So even though it's a male that's vowing, the amount that's given is according to the subject of his vow, in this case a woman. Vo'erech bizman ho'erech. Rashi on this says, ho'erech bizman ho'erech, kedem beforsh l'kamon shim herich atzmo pochus mi ben esrim. If a person vowed to give his own erech value and he was under 20 years of age, dehave erech katon, which is a lesser amount than above 20, the kodem nesinosin aseh ben esrim, and prior to his actual giving the money to the temple, to the Beis HaMikdash fund, he ages and goes above 20. Eino no sein ela kishosh sheherich tchila. He gives according to the initial rate and not based on the time of payment. And in that case, the initial rate when he vowed, he was under 20, and hence he has a different, there's a different amount that the Torah expects of him, a lesser amount. The Mishnah continues, Heseg Yad Benoder, and here the Mishnah goes over the opening point. Heseg Yad has to do with ability to afford, and it says, Benoder, Ketzad, what is meant by that? Oni Sheherich Esa Oshir, a poor man that wanted to give the value of a particular individual that was wealthy. No Sein Erech Oni. He won't have to give the full amount, which would have to be paid if the person could afford it. This speaker, the vower, is a poor man. Hence, he gives according to the Oni, the impoverished rate. In other words, he is granted a discount in what he'll have to pay. The Oshi Sheherich Es HaOni, a rich man that
offered to give the erech of a person who happened to be impoverished, no sein erech asher, he has to pay the full amount. The full amount is simply based on what the Torah says regarding the gender and age of that individual, regardless of the of his income level. Since the vower in this case was an asher, a rich man, he will pay the full rate. Avol bekorbonois eino kein. With regard to sacrifices, we don't follow the same pattern. Hare she'omar korbonoi shel metzora ze olai. If a person said that he wants to bring the sacrifices of a particular metzora, a person suffering from tzaras at the conclusion of his tzaras period, the metzora has to bring several different types of sacrifices. So if someone says, I want to bring the korbonos, and we should point out that in the case of a mitzora, there's a consideration made based on income level of the mitzora. Now, here we have a person, an outsider, offering to bring the sacrifices of a particular person who is a mitzora. So hoya mitzora oni, if the mitzora himself was a poor man, mevi korban oni. So the benevolent individual who wants to bring his sacrifices brings the sacrifices of a poor mitzora. Oshir, mevi korban oshir. The Gemara later will deal with these examples and why it's necessary to have two examples which seem to say the same thing. But we'll wait later for this line to be interpreted. Rebbe Oimer. Oimer ani af be'erechin kain. Let's look at Rashi on this. Omer ani af be'erechin kain. Ilu misrami be'erechin dumya de korbonos. Rebbe says that if a situation of erechin similar to a korbon situation would arise, havi ki korbonos, we would treat the erechin case the same way we treat the korbonos case. Teho de amris de erechin einon ki korbonos. That which was said that erechin is not like korbonos, the comment made in the Mishnah a few lines above this, that's mishum de lo domu adodi. They are very different in nature. De mitne ma oni sheherich osher no sein erech oni lefi hesig yodo. Why is it that a poor man who offered to give the erech of an osher gives according to his own ability to afford things? Mishum de'ein ha'osher chayav klum, because the subject in that case himself wasn't chayav anything, wasn't obligated to give anything. It just happens to be a rich man walking down the block without any erechin obligations. Velo domi l'mitzora. It's not similar to the case of the korbonos of the mitzora. Vezesh omar al ha'osher. The speaker in the erechin case that used the osher as his subject, lonis kaven l'fi midas shnoisav shel osher, she p'chusin o yuserin al shnoisav shelo. He referred in the making the erech donation using the osher as his subject, wasn't paying any attention to the osher's income level. He was paying attention simply to the osher's age, which may very well have been less or more than his own, the speaker's age. Hilkoch nidon behesed yad. Therefore, he is judged. The vow maker in the case of erechin is vowed according to his own income level. Dehalo piresh klum ela erech midas shnoisav shel osher kibol lov v'din erech nidon behesed yad. There, the osher wasn't himself obligated to give anything, and his only reference to the osher was just as a subject in order to determine the rate of erech. And since the speaker in this case was a poor man, the rules of hesed yad kick in. So Rebbe says that if you would have a case of erechin where the subject himself happened to be chayov, and we'll see that very shortly, then I would parallel the case of erechin to the case of korbonos. This is now explained in the Mishnah. Let's read Rebbe again, where we circled his name, an easy reference point to pick up. Rebbe Omer, Omer ani af be'erechin kein. So erichin is to be treated like the case of korbanos if they would be the same.
Why
is it that in general we say that an oni that donates or dedicates the erich of an oshir pays the lesser rate, in other words, benefits from an income consideration?
Sheina oshir chayav klum,
because the oshir in the case of the erichin himself isn't obligated; he was simply the subject of someone's vow.
Avol
oshir in the case of erichin sheomar erki olai. Imagine a rich man donates his own erich.
V'shama oni v'omar ma sheomar ze olai,
and he, the oni, says whatever he said is upon me.
No saying erech oshir,
the poor man would have to give the full rate. This last case, where the oshir had spoken up, is similar to the case of someone donating the korbanos of a mitzora. In that case, the mitzora himself was obligated to bring the korbanos. So, and the speaker there was offering to take upon himself that which the mitzora himself was already obligated in. Likewise, in this case of erichin, where the oshir had spoken up, so the oshir himself, like the mitzora, is himself obligated. And just like in the case of korbanos, where we said if a poor man accepts upon himself to bring the korbanos of a rich mitzora, he'll have to bring the more expensive type sacrifice. So, too, in the case of erichin, where a rich man had accepted upon himself erichin, and a poor man vows to bring the same thing or donate the same thing that this oshir had obligated himself in, he, the oni, will in fact be obligated to pay the full rate, and no consideration will be given to his income level. The Gemara now asks questions regarding the opening of the Mishnah. So before we read on in the Gemara, let's go back to the first line of the Mishnah and point out some of the points that are difficult. The opening of the Mishnah said, Hesig Yad Benoder. Hesig Yad is a reference to our consideration of someone's income level, or his level of wealth. Then the Mishnah said that's benoder. Noder is a term associated with donations or vows to give market value. We said in our introductory remarks that the concept of consideration based on income level is not relevant to vows concerning market rates, market values. Hesig Yad is a concept associated with erichin. So to say that Hesig Yad is applied to a noder, someone who is vowing to give a market value of somebody, that's simply untrue. So the Gemara asks, Hesig Yad b'ma'arich hu. Hesig Yad is a concept that we could apply to someone who is ma'arich. Ma'arich means the vower, someone who is vowing to donate someone's erech. So instead of the word noder, it would have been more appropriate to say hesig yad b'marich. So why did the Mishnah use the word noder? The Gemara answers, kidichtiv. The Mishnah was borrowing language from the Psukim. The Pasuk says, asher tasig yad hanoder yarichenu hakoyen. So you see that the term used in the Pasuk in conjunction with Hesig Yad is the term Hanoder. However, as far as the Pasuk is concerned, the word Noder simply means one who is taking a vow. On the strict definition that we were using before, when it comes to rabbinic style, the word Noder would have been a reference to someone vowing to give someone's market value. But in truth, the term Hesig Yad doesn't apply to that type of vow. It applies rather to someone vowing to give someone's erech value as opposed to market value. And as we said, technically, it would have been more accurate to say Hesig Yad b'ma'arich, income level is applied, the income level consideration is applied to the one who is vowing to give an erech, which is called a ma'arif, as opposed to someone who is vowing to give someone's market value. So why the Mishnah used the word noder is simply because that's the style that was adopted by the posuk. The Gemara asks another question. This bays corresponds to the bays in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, on the first line of the Mishnah in the middle, it said, Hashonim benidar. Shonim has to do with age. And here, once again, the concept of age is something that's relevant to Erechin, and not relevant to Nidorim. Nidorim is a market value. As far as determining one's market value, there's no relevance to a person, no direct relevance to a person's age. You can have a person who is 22 years old, but is very sickly, who will fetch less on the market than a person who's 61 and in the prime of health. So the opening, this line or the phrase v'hashonim, which is an age consideration, benidar, is simply inaccurate. So the Gemara here asks, where our little base is, hashonim benidar, is that so, that age is a basis of determining nidorim? Benerachu, the concept of age is relevant when you're dealing with the subject of an erech type donation, not a neder type donation. So why did the Mishnah use the word nidar when it should have used the word ne'erach, the subject of an erechin? The Gemara answers, Ivi de'omar heseg yad benoder, since the Mishnah opened up using the word noder, and we explained that was because of a scriptural consideration, so omar nami hashonim benidar. So it used the same form of speech when referring to the second point, that age is a determining factor when it comes to the subject, and use the word nidar when technically it should have said ne'erach, but simply because of, a linguistic style balance, it used this less accurate word nidar. Heseg yad benoder ketzad. The Mishnah had said, oni sheherich es ha'oshir, nosein erech oni. Namely, a poor man that offered to vowed to give the erech of an oshir, he gives the erech based on his income level. My taima, why is this? What's the source for this? Diomakro asher tasig yad hanoder benoder tola rachmona. The Torah makes the issue of income level dependent on the one making the vow, the speaker, not the subject of the vow. Our topic heading on the outside margin reads, under the Nosei, which is a topic heading in Gemara markings, in our Shas Ozer, which is the cornerstone of Gemara markings, we feature topic headings and structural notes in the outside margin from time to time. In this case, it reads, Heseg yad b'marich avoloi b'korbonos. This concept of paying attention or consideration made for a person's affordability is characteristic of erechin, not characteristic of sacrifices. So the Gemara goes on. You'll notice we have a framed section. This frame is simply a quote of what the Mishnah had said, Avol b'korbonos eino kein. The concept of consideration based on affordability does not apply with regard to sacrifices. Hare she'omar, a person said, Korbonoi shel mitzoro ze olai, a person accepted upon himself the bringing of a mitzora, some mitzora's korbonos. We've mentioned before, a mitzora, when he concludes his tzoras period, he is obligated to bring a series of sacrifices. Here we have an outsider saying that he accepts upon himself that mitzora's korban obligation. Hoya mitzora oni, if the mitzora was an oni, maybe korban oni. So the speaker will bring the korbanos characteristic of a poor mitzora. We mentioned earlier that it's characteristic of the korbanos of mitzora that there are different types of korbanos based on affordability or income level of the mitzora. Hence, we have korbanos that are called rich man's korbanos and poor man's korbanos. This is not true, of course, with regard to all different kinds of korbanos. There's certain areas in the Torah where
income level is taken into consideration when it comes to the realm of korbanos.
However, here we're speaking about an outsider taking upon himself the obligation that someone else has. So, in the case of Erechin, we said that if the speaker is poor and the subject is rich, the speaker, in the case of Erechin, benefits from the Hesig Yad concept, the affordability allowance. In the case of sacrifices, we're saying that where the speaker is poor and the subject is something else, or vice versa, so the same rule doesn't apply. But now we're going to bring all of this into question. The quote we just saw from the Mishnah said that if you have a someone said, I want to bring a Mitzorah's Korbanos, and the Mitzorah himself was poor, so the speaker will bring the Korbanos of a poor man. So now we ask, the Afal Gav de Madiro Oshir, is this so? Even if the speaker, the one who said Korban Mitzorah Lai, the speaker is wealthy? The imdalhu Omar Rachmona Velo Dalhu. The Torah says if he's poor, then poor man's korbanos are brought. But this man, this speaker, is not poor. So how can you suggest that if the speaker is rich, then he'll bring the poor man's korbanos? Omar Rabbi Yitzchok explains that the Mishnah that spoke about the bringing of a poor man's korbanos is kishoya madiro ani, where the speaker himself was poor. So when the speaker himself is poor, then he'll bring the korbanos of the mitzora who happened to be poor. The Gemara asks, v'dilma ole didei chos rachmana amadiro lo tehoksib hu. Maybe the Torah, when it makes an allowance for the bringing of a poor man's sacrifices, is only an allowance made out of consideration to the Mitzorah himself. That the Torah expresses its compassion and consideration for the Mitzorah himself. Who is to say that the Torah extends this this compassionate approach or this allowance to the vower as well? Namely, even if the vower happens to be poor, who says he can get away with bringing the poor man's type sacrifices? Omar avado baravo, v'ein yodoi maseges, l'rabois esanoder. This expression, v'ein yodoi maseges, is in the Torah, and we'll call it an extra expression, if you will, that allows us to include not only the mitzora, but the person who is taking a vow, if he happens to be an oni himself. Avol madiroi oshir, if the speaker in that case was a wealthy individual, a man who could afford korbanos of the higher quality, higher cost, even though the mitzora himself happens to be poor, Hochi nami de maisi ba'ashiros, are you then suggesting that he will have to bring the expensive type korbanos, even though the mitzora is poor? Im kain, if that's how you are going to conclude things, then what is meant by the Mishnah's declaration of oba korbanos eino kain? That korbanos are somehow different than erechin. If we're going to say this, that if the speaker, the vower, is poor, he'll bring the poor man's korban. If the speaker is wealthy, he won't bring the poor man's korban, bring what he himself can afford. Well, that's just like the way we deal with erechin. So how can the Mishnah say that korbanos is different? Just to say this again, just like with regard to erechin, we go according to the speaker. This was the opening phrase of the Mishnah, the hesegyad benoder, the issue of income level or affordability goes or is based on the speaker, the vower, so too by korbanos. That is what we are saying right now. So where do you see a contrast with regard to korbanos? The Gemara answers. Before we read the answer of the Gemara, let us point out, and what we're saying is based on the approach that Rashi takes in explaining this Gemara. In the Mishnah, there were two examples that featured korbanos. We had, and we have them noted in the Mishnah as Aleph and Beis, halfway down the Mishnah itself. One example was Oni, Mevi, Korban Oni. And a second example was Oshir, Mevi, Korban, Oshir. When learning the Mishnah, we raised the issue of, it seems to be repetitious, two examples that seem to say the same thing, that that the Oni brings like an Oni, and an Oshir brings like an Oshir. What do I need the two examples for? So the Gemara answers now, the two examples actually address different situations. Chado ametzora oni umadiro oni. If the metzora himself happens to be an oni, and the speaker is an oni, then he brings the korban of an oni. The chado, the second point in the Mishnah, is limuti mitzora oshir umadiro oni, to the exclusion of the case where the mitzora himself happens to be an oshir and the speaker is an oni. In this case, we can apply the rule of bekorbonos eino kain. In this case, even though the speaker, the vower, is a poor man, we don't give him the allowance or the we don't apply to him the compassion and consideration of income level. In this case, we don't go according to the noder. In this case, it's not like the case of erechin, and he will be chayev to bring the korban of an oshir, even though the speaker himself is an oni. Salko daito chamina, without this extra phrase and this teaching, I would have thought, hoyo v'israbu israbu, since we saw a ribui based on the expression at the bottom of Omen Aleph, where the Pasuk said, v'ein yodo maseges, where we said that the concept of compassion, of taking into consideration affordability, extends not only to the mitzora himself that's an oni, but also extends to a person taking a vow, if he happens to be an oni. So we're including a vow taker. So I might have thought that we'll include a vow taker even under these cases, even under these circumstances where the mitzora was an oshir. That as long as the vow taker is impoverished, we allow him to get away with bringing a poor man's type sacrifice. Komash molon kidesanya. We are taught like is we are taught not so, as is explained in the upcoming Tanaic source, that in the case that the Mitzora himself happens to be an Oshir, even though the vow taker is poor, he does not benefit from this consideration known as hesed yad, or of taking into consideration affordability level. Kidesanya, the source says, Lefi shemotzinu be'erechin, since we have found in the case of erechin, oni sherechis ha'oshir, a vow taker who's poor, who wants to donate the erech of an oshir, nosin erech oni, he can get away with giving a lesser rate based on his income level. Yocholav zekein, should you think this case as well, where an oni accepts upon himself the korbanos of a mitzor oshir, he can bring the korbanos characteristic of an oni? Talmud loimar, im dal hu. The pasuk says not so, that only if he is poor can he bring the poor man korbanos, namely if the mitzora himself is an oni and the speaker is an oni, only then do we say that he can bring the poor man's korbanos. However, if the mitzora himself is an oshir, then even though the speaker is an oni, the vow taker is an oni, he cannot bring the poor man's type sacrifices. Ula Rebbe di Omar, according to Rebbe that said, Omer ani, af be'erichin kain, that the case of erichin would parallel the case of korbonus, as we saw in the Mishnah. If the if in the case of erichin the subject had accepted upon himself to bring his own erich, Alma Bosar Chiyuva de Gavra Azlinon. So according to Rebbe, we go according to the obligations of the subject. Veha lo tsricha kra limuti. And therefore, according to Rebbe, where we see that we deal with erichin the same way we deal with korbanos, if the subject in erichin is chayov, so the speaker will have to give according to what the subject would have given, just like we find by korbanos, that if the mitzora is rich, so the speaker gives, even though he may be poor, gives according to the subject of the mitzora. And therefore, the case of the oni that vowed to bring the korban of the mitzora oshir, he'll have to bring like the oshir. So that, according to Rebbe, who said that korbanos and erichin are parallel, he doesn't need the pasuk to minmaet, to say that the case is different. In other words, like the Brisa said a few lines ago, that I would have thought the case of korbanos would be the same. Therefore, I have a pasuk to say not so. But according to Rebbe, who paralleled the case of korbanos with erichin, so he doesn't need the pasuk as was used in the Brisa. The Gemara therefore asks, according to Rebbe, who, the pasuk that said who, lim utemai, what is it coming to exclude? The Gemara answers, lim uti, it's coming to exclude the following case, mitzora oni umadiroi oshir, where the mitzora himself was poor and the speaker was wealthy. In that case, we say that he has to bring the korbanos of a rich man. Salka daitoch amina hoyov yom Rebbe boser chiyuva de gavra azlinon. Since Rebbe said as a what seemed to be a rule that we go according to the abilities of the subject, and in this case the subject, the mitzora himself, happened to be a poor man, so I would have thought that the rich man could get away with bringing the less expensive type sacrifices. Komash molon, that we don't say that in this case. So the word who comes to exclude this last case of a mitzora who happened to be himself poor, where the speaker was wealthy. In this case, Rebbe will say it does not follow the subject who happened to be poor, but rather the speaker will have to bring full cost korbanos. The Mishnah. The Mishnah deals, opens up with a case of erichin, hoya oni veheeshir, or oshir veheni. If the speaker, when he donated his erich, was poor,
And before he paid the money, he came into wealth. Or when he spoke, he was wealthy, but before he came to pay, he became impoverished. In either one of these cases, noisein erech oshir, he has to give the full amount. Rav Yehuda Omer, afilu oni veheshir vechozer veheni, even in a case where he spoke as a poor man, and when it came to pay, he was a poor man, just in the interim, he happened to experience wealth. Nosein erech oshir. He has to give the full rate. Avol bekorbonos eino kain. Rashi says, Avol bekorbonos eino kain, she'im hoya mitzora oshir veheni. If you had a mitzora that was well-to-do and became poor, o oni veheshir, or was poor and came into money, the type of korban that he has to bring will be based on his bringing of sacrifices, as will be elaborated upon when we get further into the Gemara. Mitzora shehevi korbanosav v'chulei, in a case where mitzora brought part of his korbanos, taimo de'ikba b'kro l'mor k'disley u'lmor k'disley. There will be three different opinions in how korban cost is established, or korban type is established. Even though there are different opinions, nevertheless, the determining factor is based on the sacrifices that he has already brought. So that the standard for determining what kind of sacrifices one brings in the case of korbonus, in other words, type of payment or type of korban, is different. The method of determination is different than the way we determine things with regard to erechin. Another point the Mishnah goes on to make: afilu meis aviv ve'niach lo riboy, a case where a person's father died, leaving him a vast amount of wealth as inheritance. And we're talking about Erechin right now. Or he left him a boat, which is something of great value. Osvinoso bayam ubo lo beribos ein lehektish bo klum. Let's glance at the Rashi on this. Afilu meis aviv ha'erechin koi. As we said, this section is referring to the issue of erechin. Umilsa va'api nafshe. He is a separate point. Afilu meis aviv shel marich ze b'shor sha'koin marichoi. V'niach lo riboy mona oi svinoso. Uve gemora meforshla. This section of the Mishnah will be explained further in the Gemara, but it's describing someone who was donating an erech, who himself was seems to be an oni. And the Kohen is in the process of evaluating what he can afford to pay. And this heirloom falls to him. Let us now continue with the Gemara. Oni v'heshir. A person who made the erech vow when he was poor, and then later, before paying, came into the money, we said in the Mishnah he has to pay the full rate. Well, the pasuk says, Asher tasig yad hanoder, which means what the speaker, what the vow taker can afford. Well, at this point, he's into the money, so he can afford to pay more. Oshir veheni. The Mishnah also spoke about a person who, when he vowed, was wealthy. Later, before he paid the money, he became poor. He has to pay the full rate. That's because the pasuk says, Al pi asher tasig yad hanoder. And here the emphasis is on the word noder. And the idea is that, well, if when he vowed he was rich, so he has to bring that the full amount. As Rashi says, the mashum boser shas neder as linon. It sounds from the pasuk we go according to the time he made the vow. The frame highlights the section of the Mishnah where Rabbi Yehuda spoke. Rabbi Yehuda Omer afilu oni veheshir v'chazer veheni, no sein erech oshir. Even a person who
when he vowed, and prior to his paying, he was in fact poor. Just in the interim, he experienced wealth, apparently experienced wealth and then apparently lost it. Nevertheless, he has to give the full rate. My time under Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? After all, in light of the drushes we saw just before, focus was paid either at time of vow or at time of paying. Well, in this case, he is an oni on both ends. So why is it that Rabbi Yehuda says he has to pay the full rate? Omar Krah, the Pasuk says, V'im mochu me'er kecha. And from that, Rabbi Yehuda learns, Ad shehei b'machuso. Machuso is impoverishment. Mitchilaso v'yad sofo. Until he's consistently poor from beginning till end. From the time that he vowed to the time he pays. Only then do we have this allowance for based on income level. However, if he wasn't consistently impoverished, then he doesn't benefit from this allowance made based on income level. He has to pay the full rate. So we just had a pasuk that said v'imochu me'erkecha, and the drosha seemed to focus on if he is, and that if he is means consistently throughout. We're going to raise a few questions in the Gemara where we find other topics with a similar style pasuk, and we're going to evaluate, do we apply the same type of drosha where we insist on consistency from beginning to end of the respective topics. Before going further in the Gemara, we have a mivneh, a structural note on the outside margin where you see a diamond featured. Elo me'ato in quotation marks, this is the phrase that we've decided to highlight with our diamonds. What are these? Kushios ha-mevusosos al droshos ha-milohu. These are questions based on droshos, where we find the word who in other psukim, shelimda sheyehe ba'oisu ma'amid mitilosov ad sofo, where we have been taught that the word who seems to instruct us or indicate that you have to be at the same status from beginning to end. Well, is that really true? So we turn to our Gemara, where we see a long question about to appear. You see the length of this through the long question marking the kuf that you see in a little diamond to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dash line indicating that all of these upcoming lines of Gemara form the question. Elo me'ata, if who be the case or be the source of saying you have to be consistent from beginning to end, the pasuk says v'im dal hu. This is in the context of the korbanos of a mitzora. And we, earlier in today's shiur, focused on the issue of mitzora, the mitzora's korbanos, and we mentioned that the Torah makes an allowance for lesser costly korbanos if the mitzora is of less affordability level. Now, in the case of mitzora, we have a pasuk says v'im dal. Dal means impoverished. Dim dal hu hochi nami. Are you going to say that he has a right to bring mitzora korbonus only if ache bedaluso mitchiloso viad soifoi? That if only from the beginning till the end he is impoverished, only then he can bring the lesser, the less costly korbonus. V'chitei mohochi nami. And if you say, yeah, that's right, that he would have to be impoverished from beginning till end. But that's not true. V'hotnan, we find the following Tanaic source, in which you will see three different opinions, none of whom say that in order to bring less costly korbanos, you would have to fulfill this rigid requirement of being impoverished from beginning to end. The source begins, Mitzora Shehevi Korbanosov, a Mitzora that brought part of his korbanos. We should point out the mitzora at the end of his soras period, when the kohen declares him to have declares that his soras has disappeared, he brings two birds, not as a sacrifice, but they are processed outside of his town, where one bird is slaughtered, the other bird is set free, and the blood of the slaughtered bird is
is sprinkled on the client, the Mitzorah. A week later, 8 days later, he then brings three sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash. A Chatos, an Osham, and an Ola. There is a consideration made with regard to the Korban Chatos of a Mitzora that he can bring a, if he is a we should say the Chatos and Ola Korbanos are Korbanos that depend on one's income level. The Torah has considerations regarding the Chatos and Ola Korbanos of the Mitzora. If he is wealthy, so he'll bring animal offerings. If he is less wealthy, he's poor, he'll bring two birds to represent the Chatos and Ola offering. In other words, we have this concept of a Korban, what's called Oilo V'yore, depending on his income level. So our source says that a Mitzorah Shevi Korbanosov, Oni, let's say a Mitzorah was an Oni, he was poor, and he brought partial Korbanos, and then Behashir, and then became wealthy. Or Ashir, he, as a rich man, brought part of his Korbanos, Veheni, and then, before he brought the rest, he became poor. How do you determine the continuation? He brought part. Now he has to bring the balance of the sacrifices. We mentioned he has three sacrifices to bring. How do you determine things? So, opinion number one, Hakol Holech Achar Chatos. Everything depends at what his state was when he brought the Chatos sacrifice. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Number two, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hakol Holech Achar Osham. Everything depends on what he was when he brought his Korban Osham. V'tanya, a third opinion, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Hakol Holech Achar Tziporim. Everything is based, his requirement is based on what his state was when he brought the birds. The bras at the beginning, the birds at the beginning of the purification process. So we see from this question that the insistence on his being impoverished from beginning to end is simply not the case. The question then is, if our previous drasha by Erechin, the imochu me'erkecha, is accurate, the word who means from beginning to end, as Rabbi Yehuda darshaned, well, what are we going to say about this? The Gemara answers, the issue of Mitzorah and his Korbanos is not a challenge. Ha itmar alom Rabbi Yehuda marav, ushloshtan mikro echo darshu. The case of the Tzoras is governed by a separate scriptural reference, a separate Gzeres HaKosuv. And since you have a special scriptural reference governing how we determine matters regarding the Mitzorah and its Korbanos, so it's not a challenge to the way we darshan the Pasuk by Erechin. And here the Gemara answers. This, in effect, is a long answer that covers the lines opposite our long answer marking that you can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, where you see a tuf that's encircled and a descending vertical dashed line. Ha itmar alo, Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, ushloshton mikro echodarshu. As we said, the three opinions that we saw, the three Tanaic opinions, in the case of the Korbanos Mitzorah, darshan the following pasuk. Asher loy tasig yodo b'tohoroso. This is a pasuk in the case of the Mitzorah, indicating someone who can't afford. Rabbi Shimon Sovar, Dovar HaMechaper. The word toroso is a reference to that which atones. Mainu chatos. The korban, the sin offering, is that which offers atonement. Rabbi Yehuda Sovar, Dovar HaMachshir. That the pasuk that says Toroso is a reference to something that's machshir. The concept of machshir is a concept that's different than atonement, which basically means someone who was in a state of tumah is prevented from participating in korban eating or entering the Beis HaMikdash, etc., in order to enable him to eat, participate in korban consumption, he has to bring something called a machshir, which enables. Now, what fulfills that role? That's the osham. Umayniu osham, the korban osham, fulfills the rule of a machshir, so that the word, when it says in the posuk, Rashi says, let's say three lines from the bottom, Dovar HaMachshir, Dochi Mash Mashir Lo Tasig Yodo, Bishas Tahara, Tehelo Toras Anius Vitaro, Zehu Osham HaMachshiro Lovo Bamikdosh Lovo Bakochim. The word in the Pasuk that said Taharoso is a reference, according to this opinion, of something that's Machshir him, that enables him to come into the Mikdosh and eat sacrifices. Shemidam HaOsham, who knows Sein Abahonos, the the machshir there is the blood of the osham sacrifice that's applied to the mitzora's thumbs and ears. Let us continue in the Gemara. Reb Lozer ben Yaakov, who was the third opinion, said Savar hagoreim lo tara, that which sets the purification system into motion. And what sets everything into motion? Umayniu tziporim. That's the birds that we made reference to earlier that are brought a week before the Mitzvah actually brings the formal Beis HaMikdash sacrifices. So what his income level is at the time of the bird ceremony, if he is poor, then he brings the rest of his korbanos as a poor man would bring it. The Gemara asks, well, Vela hu lomali? Well, then what am I to do with the word who in this pasuk? So the Gemara answers, L'Rebbe kide islay u'l'rabbonon kide islahu. We saw before the upper part of the page. We saw, for example, five lines from the top, we saw a braisa that introduced this pasuk v'im dalhu, which we said was a mi'ut in the case of the korbanos of a mitzora, and we saw the use of the word hu according to the rabbanon, and we saw also what does Rebbe do with the word hu. So he explained, it was explained above before the Mishnah, that it's coming to Mimayit, the case of Mitzor Oni Umadiro Oshir. So we saw the use of the word hu from this pasuk as far as the Rabbonon and as far as Rebbe were concerned earlier on the Omid. This we have indicated with the use of, in order to find things, we've indicated this with the use of a star that you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. We have a star over opposite this line, and if you skim up to the upper part of the page, you'll see two more stars that you connect up, and they all point to the lines where we saw the word hu darshan by Rebbe and the Rabbonon with regard to the korbanos of the Metzora. In the meantime, we're sticking with our drosha regarding Erechin, that in order to bring the to benefit from this Torah allowance based on income level, in the case of Erechin, he would have to be impoverished from beginning to end based on the drosha v'imochu me'erkecha. Well, Elomeata, what about the following realm where it says v'hu aid? This has to do with testimony and when is a witness considered qualified or kosher for offering testimony? You see the word v'hu, and are you going to say ad she'e kosher mitchiloso v'ad sofo? Just like we said above with regard to the erichin, he has to be b'makuso, we said impoverishment mitchiloso v'ad sofo. Are you going to say the same thing over here? We will find shortly that it's not really the case. And we, like we saw before, we have a long question that's indicated by the long question marking the kuf that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical descending dashed line. And this line, this dashed line continues till the fourth line from the top of Yud Ches Omed Aleph. On the side of our Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, Kashrus Li'edus, acceptability as witness. Mahadin imisrachish psu bein hori'io la'agoda. What is the halacha if, between the time of the actual witnessing of the event and the eventual testimony in court, there was an interim period where he was unfit to serve as a witness? Once again, at the beginning he was fit. At the end, meaning at the time of testimony, he was fit. In the interim, became unfit to serve as a witness. Now, what makes a person unfit to serve as a witness? That will be illustrated by the examples in the upcoming Gemara. So we're asking, if this approach to the word the who means that you have to be in the same state from beginning to end, well, when it comes to testimony, it doesn't appear that way. We will see that one will be an acceptable witness even if there is an interim state where he cannot testify. The Gemara continues, V'chitema hochinami, and if you insist, that's right, that he has to be kosher from beginning to end. V'hotanya, but we have the following Tanaic source. Hoya yodea lo be'edus, ad shelo naase chasono, v'naase chasono. If a person knew a point of testimony for someone else before he became that individual's son-in-law. In other words, there's a witnessing of something, and then the witness marries the subject's daughter, thereby becoming his son-in-law. Or pikeach v'nischarish, a person witnessed testimony when he was well, and then became a deaf-mute. Posuach v'nistama, a person witnessed something when he was sighted, but then became blind. Shofui v'nishtata, he witnessed something when he was of a sound mind and then became an imbecile. Harei ze posel. In these cases, the individual cannot testify. At the point of testimony, of offering the testimony, he's unqualified. Avol, hoyo yodea lo edus achilo sachasona sachasono. V'achar kach me sobito. Imagine a person witnessed something, then before testifying married the daughter of the subject, but prior to testifying in court, the daughter of the subject died. Likewise, pikeach v'nischarish v'chozer v'nispakeach, he was healthy and then became a deaf mute, but experienced healing. He became well again before testifying. Pasuach v'nistam v'chaf nispateach, was blind, was sighted, became blind, and then became sighted. Shofui v'nishtate v'chazer v'nishtafe, was of sound mind, lost his mind, but became of sound mind again. Kosher, he is able to testify. Ze haklal, the following is the rule. Kol shetchilosu v'sofu b'kashus kosher, as long as the beginning, namely the initial sighting, the initial witnessing, and the final testimony is in a state of acceptability, we don't care what was in the interim. So you see here a clear challenge to our original drasha, whereby there is no insistence on consistency from beginning throughout till the very end. The Gemara answers, once again, the case of witnessing, of testimony, is governed by a separate Xeris HaKosov. Shiny Hossam, the Amakro, there is a special scriptural reference there in the case of testimony, which says, Oy ra'a im lo yagid. And from this we learn, Beri'iya v'hagoda tola rachmona milsa. Acceptability as serving as witness is dependent on initial sighting, that's Ri'iya, hagoda is the testimony in court. So that if you have, at the time of sighting, of witnessing and testifying, you have a person who is acceptable, that's all that matters. And that's what is meant by v'ha'ika, and you have that over here in these cases.
in the cases featured under Roman numeral number 2 in our source. Well, the Gemara asks them, Vela hu lo mali, so what is the role of the who when it comes to testimony? After all, the Pasuk said, the who aid, what do I gain from, or what is learned, what is, the word who, generally speaking, is a word indicating some type of limitation. What is it, what function does it have in the case of testimony? The Gemara answers, Lichinisanya, I need it for the following case, or the following law. This is a, we've used a long answer marking simply to show that this brisa constitutes the answer to our question. He sees a group of people that are standing, and people that happen to know testimony on his behalf are present among them. The Omar, and the individual who needs the testimony of these people, he declares, Mashbi'ani aleichem im yoidim atem li edus, shetavou v'ta'iduni. I impose upon you by oath, if you know testimony for me, then come and testify for me. So this is a case of imposing upon others by through the power of shivua, of an oath, the need or the claim of testimony. The Torah has a parsha dealing with something called shivuas ha'edus, whereby if a person knows testimony, the Torah expects people who know testimony to come and testify on behalf of the person needing that information. If they don't testify, so they're considered it's considered a wrongful decision. Let us say that they are subjected to a vow, like we just described, that if you know testimony for me, then I want you to come and testify. And then the listeners deny falsely, claiming we don't know testimony for you. If they deny false, they deny in a sense lie, and then admit that they lied, they have to bring a korban. They have to bring a sacrifice. That sacrifice is a sacrifice brought because of what we refer to in a very general term, shvuas ha'edus. In this case, we had a group of people standing, and in the group there were people that knew testimony for him. And he imposed upon them his need for testimony. And they didn't come. So, yachol yu chayovim, would the witnesses that were in this group be guilty of the korban for shvuas ha'edus if they don't come and testify? Talmud loymar vehu aid. Now this is the pasuk that we were focusing on. And it tells us, v'hare lo yichet edov. Vehu aid means then, he has to specify, he has to isolate, so to speak, or specify in some form the witnesses. And here he didn't do that. Here he was standing near a group of people. Not all of them knew testimony, just a couple people in the group. So he wasn't miyached Adolf. He didn't specify his witnesses. And therefore, they are not guilty. Yochol afilu Omar, would the same apply in a case where he says, call me? Instead of just saying, as we saw, a general, im yodim atem, if you happen to know testimony. But here he's more specific. He says, any one of you who knows testimony for me, I am binding by vow that you should come to testify, and they don't come. Will they be innocent? Talmud Lomar v'hu aid. The same posuk V'hare yiched edov. Here he did specify by saying, any one of you who happens to know testimony for me, and they don't come forth, that would be considered their violation of this shvuas ha'edus. Rashi points out on the first narrow line, here there won't be innocence. Sharei lo hishpia elo edov. Here he subjected only those that know testimony.
And if they don't come, as a result of this pasuk, the who aid, which requires yichud edim, and that he did accomplish with this refining of his claim of kol mi shiodea edus, and if they don't come, they will be guilty. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.